How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Tons of stuff to get onto here today on a Labor Day weekend. Amazingly, there's a lot of news, even though there weren't a lot of shows. We have an update on the situation involving Ric Flair. Ric Flair, like 2 weeks ago, was hospitalized. He was in a medically induced coma. He was given at one point maybe a 20% chance of recovery, 20% chance of surviving the surgery that he was about to undergo. And not only did he undergo the surgery and come out of it okay, but Ric Flair posted a video message on social media yesterday. He's on his feet, he's cutting a promo, he's a nature boy. Can't say that everything is totally back to normal, but he's definitely on the comeback trail. He is doing his rehab. Video is available on my Twitter at Brian Alvarez if you want to go up there and check it out, or just go to Ric Flair's Twitter as well. You'll find it there. This from WrestlingObserver.com. The latest update on Ric Flair's condition came earlier in the week when his fiancée, Wendy Barlow, formerly Fifi the Maid, as an on-screen character in WCW, wrote that he was set to begin physical therapy shortly. His daughter Charlotte also returned on the road with WWE last weekend for the first time since her father's health issues. Was not on last week's SmackDown, but WWE did post a video of her being interviewed by Renee Young backstage. She acknowledged that Flair had a long road ahead of him, but said that he wouldn't be back, or she would not be back, if she did not think it was okay. So, he's made a miraculous comeback. A lot of times you'll hear the story that somebody has made a miracle recovery, and it's kind of like, well, was it really a miracle recovery? This one was a miracle recovery. Back on the road, not out of the woods. There's still a ways to go, but he's doing much, much better. We can talk about Ric Flair and everything else when we come back from the break. We'll give you the phone numbers and the text message line as well. Lots of stuff to get into. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Alive. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here live today, we'll be live on Labor Day as well. If you want to give us a call here today, the phone number 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. You can send your text messages to 425-780-7566. All of these numbers are available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. That is at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. I want to mention, by the way, that if you go to my Twitter right now, pinned up there at the top, is a link to a sale that is going on today at Pro Wrestling Tees. If you want to grab your minus 5 stars shirt, if you've been waiting for a sale, now's your opportunity. You can get 15% off any purchase at Pro Wrestling Tees using the promo code WORK, as in this business is a work. And a portion of the profits will be donated to the Houston Food Bank. So you're doing a good deed of the day as well if you go up there and grab something off Pro Wrestling Tees. You can get the shirts by going to f4wonline.com/shirts or just go to my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. It is stickied up there at the top. 15% off. Pro Wrestling Tees, promo code WORK. So make sure you grab your minus 5 stars t-shirt today. I didn't know there was a sale. All I knew was we were selling a bunch of shirts over the last couple of days, and somebody alerted me on Twitter, so discovered that. Talked about Ric Flair in the opening segment. Also want to mention here today, other big news. It happened on a Friday. That's when these things happen. Former WWE Champion Bradshaw, JBL, announced Friday night that he is going to be stepping away from WWE SmackDown to focus on charitable endeavors instead. He says, after much consideration, I will be stepping back my weekly role as SmackDown announcer to dedicate more continuous time on the work I have done since 2010 with at-risk kids and communities. My new schedule will allow me to continue to be a part of the WWE family. Also continue my work that I feel is the most important thing in my life. I will continue my 20-plus year relationship with WWE. Will continue to appear on marquee shows like Tribute to the Troops and WrestleMania, among others. That means that Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton are the current SmackDown announce team. I assume they're going to add a third name. Don't know who that's going to be. A lot of different options, but JBL's gone. And I'm not going to mince words here. There are certainly a lot of people that think, huh, how about that? A couple months after everything that went down with Mauro Ranallo, now he's just stepping aside to work on whatever he's working on. I don't know if one thing has to do with the other, but all I can tell you is a lot of people think that one thing has to do with the other. So that's the story. Mike, your thoughts?
Hey, maybe it's better for everyone, all involved, because JBL has got a million and one things he can do. He still appears on Fox Business, I believe on the reg. He is really dedicated to being in Aruba. It's Aruba, right, where he's doing all this stuff and where his second home is, big into rugby there and all that sort of stuff. So it's not like he doesn't have options. And his voice, you know, he at times, especially when he started, and this is the case with a lot of WWE announcers, when they start, they are fresh, they are new, they are good, and over time they are reduced into something else. He seemed to be the mouthpiece for Vince McMahon a lot, which is no surprise there, and he would have moments of being very, very bad, you know. So having a new voice in there, if they decide to get one, won't hurt my feelings at all. I would rather them just leave it with two, because Byron Saxton, I believe, has gotten a little bit of a bad rap when he was made to play the fool to Corey Graves on Raw and be the third banana there. It didn't really work. I think him playing more of a serious straight role is something that he should be doing, and I don't think weighing down that team is something that they should do, although odds are, because this is what they do, they're going to bring another voice in.
Got a bunch of questions here that pertain to the news as well. This person here says, is there a reason why they're doing the Mae Young Classic Finals after a SmackDown? Seems like they're far more likely to have a heatless crowd, a la 205 Live. Why not just run it like the Cruiserweight Classic Finals? Well, it all goes back to the fact that they dropped four episodes last week, and they dropped four more this coming Monday, and they're requiring you to binge-watch everything so that you can watch the finals next Tuesday. Next Tuesday is already the finals. Now, why are they doing it after SmackDown on the WWE Network as opposed to whatever they do for the Cruiserweight Classic? Because they're trying things. And as much as I disagree with the idea of the binge-watching scenario that they did, I'm okay with the idea of trying things out. They want to see if it works. And more power to them. They can give it a shot. If it turns out that it works, then maybe that's what they can do for the next classic that they do. Probably a tag team classic would be my guess for next summer, but it's just an experiment. And when you are WWE and you're certainly not losing a ton of money, you're not about to go out of business, you've got discretionary income, then you can experiment and find out what works better. The whole thing is to try to grow the network. They're trying to grow the network, see what works and what doesn't work, and this is part of that here. And the thing is also, it's not 205
TV
Live.
Product.
This is the finals of the Mae Young Classic, so I think the crowd's going to be hot. I honestly do, but I guess we'll see.
I think people need to remember that they're also a TV property, too. And we talk about some of the things that we believe they should do as far as aesthetics go, like changing up the looks of the shows, which they really seemingly haven't done since the Attitude Era and things like that, you know, to try to give it a fresh coat of paint. But they are going to do things that the industry is doing. They have dabbled in reality TV. They have dabbled in animation with because they did get Seth Green, who's such a big wrestling fan, an Adult Swim style, or that's kind of maybe what they were thinking with some of the stuff that they came up with originally for the network. And this whole thing with the binge watching, and it's, to be honest, I mean, of a lot of the things they could have done it with, of first run type of, you know, original programming, this isn't the worst thing in the world, because a women's wrestling fan is incredibly dedicated, and we hear them on this show call in, where I'm not saying it wasn't nothing but a thing for them to bang out these episodes and to watch them, but, you know, if you were really going to be into it and watch them, you probably already watched them. And really, by this point, I think even the hardcore dedicated wrestling fan probably has gotten through what they want to get through of the shows. So I don't think in this case, again, I disagree with it as well, too, because of the reasons that you've stated. But I can see why they decided to throw the fishing line out for this one as opposed to maybe something else.
As far as it says, Renee Young is a rumor I'm hearing about the replacement for JBL. Would love to see that happen.
Oh, please, God, yes.
Well,
It's not going to happen, but please God, yes.
No, it could happen. But here's the thing. So I did not anticipate what happened with JBL and Mauro Ranallo the first time around before he ended up leaving and then coming back later for NXT. But I remember when everybody was so excited about Mauro Ranallo coming to WWE, I tempered this. And I said, listen, he is going to have Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, whoever, in his ear. And they're going to let him be himself for a while, and then invariably they're going to want to change him. They're going to want to make him into something else. I didn't anticipate the way that it turned out, but I did know that, like, the idea that he was just going to come in and be Mauro Ranallo and do whatever he wanted, I thought there was a possibility because he'd actually done mainstream stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still WWE, and they're going to do what they're going to do with you. Renee Young is awesome. I don't want her to go to SmackDown and end up with some crazy guy yelling in her ear and basically trying to turn her into another one of these wacky robots. I don't want to see that happen. Maybe because she's so good, they won't do that, but you never know.
Problem is, there's a chance he could do that at any time with anything that she or anyone else is doing. It is hyper-focused more because we have the, whether it be Mick Foley or Michael Cole holding his head down after a show or Lawler or any of them, where they have had Vince in their ear screaming at them. But that could happen whether she's holding the mic or whether she's on commentary. So if they want to make a rash, ridiculous decision, you know, it could be anywhere. I'm looking at this purely from a personal greed standpoint of look at some of the people they could put in there and it could be a mess, as opposed to her, who at least could banter about with those two and not be so jocular.
This person says, will Nakamura win the WWE title in Japan like Inoki did against Backlund, but it didn't count due to interference? So a dusty finish? I mean, they could. They could also do a short-term reign. Or they may not change the title at all, like I told everybody was going to happen at SummerSlam. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. We're back on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Joined here today by our buddy Paul, who I would bet you anything is calling in to talk about the King of Trios, which is wrapped up after 3 days. Paul, you're on the air. What's going on?
Oh, I'm getting caught up on the results, and this has been a pretty great weekend for indie wrestling between, the Bola and the KOT, or King of Trios, if you will, and in the finals for the first time ever, a WWE team took home the gold medals. Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bates defeated the Sendai Girls in the final round of the tournament.
That's right. I retweeted that shot of them with their gold medals. I was so jealous.
I am so angry about this. I am so upset that how dare this. I'm blaming WWE for this. I'm blaming the influence. How could Mako Satomura, you'd never believe her to be on a losing side to anyone, let alone those geeks.
Oh, yes. And also, the same card saw the winners of the Rey de Voladores, or King of the High Flyers tournament, and this tied into a earlier storyline in Chikara. As you recall, about a month ago, Ophidian was kidnapped by druids led by the Whisper, and on this weekend, a second Ophidian showed up, wearing and entered the tournament and won. And some people believe that the Whisper has not just kidnapped Ophidian, but he has stolen his mask and is assumed as identity.
Oh, my God. So there aren't two Ophidians, there's only one?
My God.
There's apparently two, but we don't know where one is.
Well, hopefully this turns out better than when there were two Undertakers. Because that sucked.
Or two Canes.
Two Canes
was a bad one.
Yeah, two is almost always one too many, except unless they're like twins.
Mysticos?
Yeah.
Yeah, like two Doinks was okay for a minute.
No, it wasn't. Never.
Anyway, there.
By the way, I believe the Doinks, if I'm not mistaken, were they not like Doink, Dink, and Stink or something? Were they actually in Chikara's King of Trios once?
No, not yet. Never can. Well, I guess it may be a little too late to have Doink.
Well, for original Doink. But Steve Kern is still around. Steve Kern could reprise his role. Steve Lombardi. Mm-hmm. We could have basically fake original Doinks, is what they could call themselves, or something like that. And they
I'm pretty sure you
could
put any clown in that outfit, quite frankly.
I don't know. Why don't you get in there and find out?
Oh, my God. Anything else, Paul?
Well, there was a new original iPay-per-view that was held last night called Glob, The Gorgeous Ladies of Burlesque. And if anyone has seen that, I would love to hear a recap.
Stokely. Stokely Hathaway was there.
I want to thank you very much for the call, Paul. If there's any radio show in the history of the planet Earth where people might know a little bit about Glob, this would be the one. Thank you very much for the
Philadelphia
call.
Philadelphia, too. Philadelphia, the home of all of your indie needs, whether it be House of Hardcore or whoever it is. But yes, the Gorgeous Ladies of Burlesque. I'm interested to hearing exactly what that could possibly be about.
All righty. Let's go back to the text messages here. If you want to give us a call here today, the phone number 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. You can send your text messages 425-780-7566. Should note that tonight, for subscribers, the Brian and Vinny Show returns with yet another look at NWA World Championship Wrestling from the glorious year of our Lord, 1987. I believe we're moving in August. I'll get the exact date for you here. Actually, I can tell you right now. August 8, 1987, if you want to follow along. 90-minute show. Yep, we'll talk about everything as they work their way to going out of business, basically, and being sold to Ted Turner. So that's tonight on the Brian and Vinny Show. Last night, by the way, the UFC show from Rotterdam, there were 4 matches on the main card, 3 TKOs. Alexander Volkov, TKO, Stefan Struve, 3:30 of the third round. C.R. Bahadurzada defeated Rob Wilkinson, 3:10 of the second round. You pronounce it. What's his last name?
I got to read it.
Exactly.
I'll have it right now.
Exactly. Marion Renault defeated Talita Bernardo, TKO, 4:54 of the third round. 6 seconds before the end of the fight.
I got to give it to you. I am really surprised you're doing this to yourself. I am impressed.
What are you talking about? You're making fun of me for screwing up words of all people. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. And Leon Edwards.
I've had brain trauma.
And Brian Barberena. Well, first off, what kind of excuse is that? Second off, Leon Edwards beat Brian Barberena via unanimous decision in the third round. Barberena. Yeah. You know, it's a famous song from the 60s, if I recall correctly. But anyway, that was a show. It's on Fight Pass if you want to check it out. Don't have a lot to say other than main event was one of those fights where I didn't think either guy looked all that good, but it was kind of a good fight. And there was a TKO finish, but man, to think that Alexander Volkov is on his way potentially to a championship fight? Well, what's happening?
This is what happens with large men in combat sports. It's not the prettiest thing in the world. Although, there's always Stefan Struve, there's always going to be a place for him because people like seeing long, gangly guys or long, lanky guys get knocked out. I remember this in boxing. I think there was Mike White, and there were a couple of guys that were like, you know, they seemed to be converted basketball players in some ways, but like, they would get knocked out, and it would just always be like arms flying everywhere, a leg. It would look like Gumby sometimes going down. So there's always a place for a entertaining knockout. So Stefan Struve will probably have a job continuously in the UFC.
This person here says, saw the first 4 Mae Young Classics today. Total time, 3 hours and 20 minutes. No problem, like watching a pay-per-view. Well, here is the problem. Like, if you're not watching anything else, you're right. It's no problem. But if you're watching...
Yeah.
Okay, so add this all together, Mike.
Good.
There's 3 hours of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours of SmackDown.
Yes.
1 hour of NXT.
Yes.
1 hour of Lucha Underground.
Yes.
Basically, 2 hours of NWA.
Yeah.
3 hours of UFC.
Yeah.
3 hours of Retro Nitro.
Uh-huh.
2 hours of Retro Raw. What are we at right now?
So I don't know, but I think...
You numbskull, I gave you all those numbers and you didn't add them up while you were saying, uh-huh?
Well, here, after NXT, you have about 11 hours of programming that you named that I have a feeling that people that watch the Mae Young
hours.
Classic...
It was way more than that.
No, you have 2 hours of the NWA. You have 2 hours of Retro Raw. You have, what else was it?
Three hours of Nitro, UFC, Lucha Underground, Raw, SmackDown. The point of this is, in my life, I don't have another 3 hours and 20 minutes to watch this unless I want to get a divorce, which I don't.
But other people do. So, I mean, I do. Again, I agree with what you're saying, but there are still a lot of people that are watching this, including the most hardcore of those people that will cancel out and not watch, say, a SmackDown or something else, and they're going to make time to binge watch the Mae Young Classic. So, again,
My point is, if I'm WWE, okay, I don't want people to skip Raw and SmackDown and NXT and 205 Live and all of my other programming so that they can find time to have to binge watch four shows when they could just as easily do one show a week like the Cruiserweight Classic, spread it out over 12 weeks, and then do a finale on a Wednesday night, and everything is fine.
Yes, like, but like if there's a
good reason to have to rush it into 3 weeks, that's fine. But there's not. The comet's not coming.
But a lot of these media content producers want to devastate and dominate your time, and they suck you in and want to draw you in and keep you locked in there. And that WWE, in some ways, is taking that approach with this. And I'm not saying that
they already are without the Mae Young Classic. I mean, isn't that obvious? They're already bombarding our time with their programming, right?
That is absolutely the case. But I think a lot of it is more the execution of this thing. Again, like you said, the final is on Tuesday. The fact that even if they wanted you to binge watch and put them out at one time, the fact that they could have extended the time on this thing and let it kind of marinate and see where they were at and get some reaction back to it and feel it out as you built to what the finals are going to be. And they've already been, you know, we know at least who the two finalists are. And that's actually been for the most part, people seem to have forgotten the results of the tapings, or they've pretty much decided to put it out of their mind and have a spotless mind about it. So that's actually been good. Nobody's been complaining about being spoiled too much from this whole thing. But, you know, how they built to it, I think, is a bigger problem than the fact that they went with this binge method. And again, I understand, to me, this was the perfect audience to do it with.
This person says, so awesome to hear Dave on Observer Radio today say that Matt Riddle and Jeff Cobb are going to be teaming up in the World Tag League for New Japan later this year. What are your thoughts on the chances of them winning it? Do you think they'll align with any of the factions? Well, I don't know about factions, who knows? But I don't think they're winning the first year in. I think they'll do very well for themselves and not win. That's my prediction.
Grapple Thick. We got to come up with some sort of name for these two. No, unless you want them to become Brody and Hanson and they're going to be there forever. No, I don't think you have them go out there and clean house on the G1, but you have them do awesome things and have great performances. And I don't know about them hooking up with a crew. They could, I guess. I mean, that's a way you could invite a Nagata or something like that to stay relevant or something. But I guess we'll have to see as we go forward. But a great move for New Japan to have those two guys in.
Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Live here today. We'll be live here tomorrow. Absolutely sweltering here in Cannon Beach. Just tweeted out a shot of my wife doing the Columbia River forecast, along with my baby in a front pack nursing at the same time. It's quite the shot. Check it out at Brian Alvarez. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Whatever is on your mind is fair game. Text messages, 425-780-7566. And you can get all these numbers, as always, on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com, by the way, the place to go for all of the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Number one pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show website in the world. We got all the news. We got daily updates. We got everything you ever want to know about wrestling. We have a members area with more audio than you'd ever know what to do with. And I'm not kidding. 8,000 hours of archived audio. Every show dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. I put up 2 to 3 new shows every single day. If you like Wrestling Observer Live, and you only hear it once a week or even every day, You're still missing out. Every single day, brand new shows only for subscribers. Got two more coming up tonight. We'll talk old NWA, the old WCW Saturday Night Show with Vinny, and then Dave Meltzer back later. We'll talk PWG, the Battle of LA, all of the weekend news and more. So three shows going up today, two of them subscriber only. Check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up today. You will not regret it. If you like the show, I guarantee you, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there and check it out. And with that, we are going to head to the phones. Andrew is on the air in Dublin. Andrew, what's going on?
Hi, Brian. How are you?
What's happening?
I just wonder, with John Jones being suspended and Cormier kind of being left in limbo, do you think that Cormier versus Lesnar could be a viable fight? And is that a fight you'd be interested in seeing?
Well, I don't think we're going to see that fight. Because right now, I think Brock Lesnar is only going to fight at 40, 41 years old. If it's like a big-time major, you know, 1 million by a UFC show. And for some reason, I just don't feel like Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Cormier is that fight. I don't see it doing those kinds of numbers. I don't really know who... I mean, the only name, aside from John Jones, would be like Conor McGregor. And that ain't going to happen. So I don't think you're going to see Brock Lesnar fight again. That's my opinion.
Do you think there's anyone else that Cormier could face to kind of give him that redemption storyline that they were trying to give John Jones in the lead up to the last fight?
It's a tough one. I want to thank you very much for the call. Stipe, you think it's Stipe?
Well, here's the thing. I think it's a terrible fight for him in a lot of ways, but if he were actually able to say you made that fight and he beat Stipe, the one thing that he can always have is, I did what John Jones was supposed to do. I not only took over the light heavyweight division, I took over the heavyweight division, and I did it on my second attempt back up there, and I conquered Stipe, and the only way you had ever conquered me, John Jones, and you hurt me inside, but the only way you ever conquered me was under dubious circumstances both times. And I put my heart out there, my soul out there, and you took that from me, and you made fun of me crying, you made fun of me, you put me down, but you know what? I can actually say, as I sit here at the end of my career, I ascended to a point that you'll never be at, and I am looked at in a way that you'll never...
John, on three callers, or two callers left.
Do it over Stipe, a guy who's as marketable as you can get right now for a heavyweight champion, I think, on that roster. That would probably be the best redemption story you could tell. I just don't think he could win the fight.
All righty, let's go to Jim in, I presume, Virginia. I actually don't know where this Jim is from. Jim, you're on the air. What is going on?
Hey, this is Jim from Virginia.
Hey, with a much better phone here today, it sounds like.
Yeah. Talking about the May Young Classic, I thoroughly enjoyed it myself. I was just thinking back, you know, as a lifelong women's wrestling fan, it's just we had to put up with so much junk with the Divas and the bra and panty matches. And the gravy wrestling matches and all kind of crap like that. This is just, ever since the revolution started a year or two ago, it's just been just great. And this Mae Young classic is like icing on the cake.
You know, my grandmother was a big fan of those gravy matches, Jim. Just want you to know that.
Missy Hyatt in the mud.
That's not the one she's laughing about, but go ahead.
Now, another thing, I noticed today that the
John's next
going to have a documentary on Alundra Blaze.
Well, here's what I can tell you about that, Jim. I want to thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
A lot of callers. So, Medusa was originally all over the Mae Young Classic. She was doing all of these backstage interviews. And I watched every Mae Young Classic episode, all four of them so far. I did not see hide nor hair of Medusa. Now, they have been putting some stuff up online where she's been interviewing the girls, but they did not have anything on the actual Mae Young Classic that's on the WWE Network. So all I will say is, I'm not sure we're going to get that Medusa documentary anytime soon. And that's the end of that.
Exactly.
Let's go to John. John, you're on the air. What's going on?
Not much. I'm channeling my inner Otis Dozovic and doing part of his famous promo, the steak.
See, now I was channeling my inner steak. Otis Redding before the show.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I was singing
awesome.
And everything.
So what's up, dude?
I think it's poetic justice, our current situation with SmackDown's announced team. Mainly Mr. Layfield.
Yeah, JBL. What about him?
The fact that he's leaving, it's very timely, and I will draw the comparisons. And I know you guys were discussing the Renee Young thing. I see it being highly unlikely. I see Hunter trying that way before I ever see Vince trying it. I just don't think they're progressive enough that they're going to put a woman in there.
Are you kidding me?
In that prime spot.
I think there's a very decent chance that they add May... it's not May Young. What am I talking about? I think there's a very good chance that they add Renee Young to that spot.
Really?
Maybe they'll even claim she's Mae Young's daughter. You ever thought about that?
Renee Young.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
Like a Vanderbeek. There you go, the Jameis Vanderbeek. When he gets back from the Bola thing, there you go. Do that one. There
yeah.
you go.
I don't know. I mean, my jury will be out, and if they do something like that, that's progressive, I'll give them all the credit in the world that they're doing it. Of course,
oh my God,
they have to leave.
That'd be a first from you.
Do it.
You'd be giving them all the
yeah,
credit
I
in the
know.
World.
All of it?
Holy smokes!
Well, I'll give them some credit. Let me rephrase that. I'll give them some credit for being fortuitous in doing something that a lot of other people are already doing, coming out of the Stone Age and putting women in prime roles and not making them look like idiots.
Okay, John, I want to thank you very much for the call. Listen, I would listen if they don't use Renee Young in the role, it's not because they're not progressive. It's because they have somebody else that they prefer to use in the role. Because listen, we're talking about a Mae Young classic right now. There's a WWE special that's all about women. Lita's the commentator alongside Jim Ross. You've got a female referee in there who, by the way, since somebody asked a while ago, she is signed to the company. So you're probably going to see her more often. I mean, she's either there or she's not. It has nothing to do with being progressive. Because they're very progressive right now. They're very proud of how progressive they are with the women. I mean, you can argue they're not really that progressive, but they think they are. But the point is, like, her being there has nothing to do... I mean, she's either there or she's not. That's all I'll say about that. I hope it's her. Because there are a lot of really terrible commentators. I'd be happy to have a good one for once.
See, now you're hoping it's her.
All right, we got this... I do hope it's her. I hope it's her, but they don't screw it up. I never said I didn't want it to be her. I said everyone excited about the possibility of Renee Young
so
being a commentator.
You're taking my talking points and just regurgitating them back out
no.
and now making them your own, which is what you do with a lot of things that
oh,
people
Oh, get
say.
Out of here.
Look at you earlier on saying, I said, listen, no, I bet this is how you said it. Listen. And as you deflated everybody's bubble.
It's not deflating everybody's bubble. It's giving them a reality check. That's what I'm doing here. Now, here's another reality check. This person here says, any chance of a Brawl for All with all the guys who have legit fight experience? If I get one more question about Brawl for All, I will find a way to block your text message. I don't even need to find a way. I can block text messages. Okay? There's not going to be another Brawl for All. Do you hear me? There's not. There is not going to be another Brawl for All.
Unless it's
could I make it any more clear?
Unless it's licensed by the Nevada State Athletic Commission, like Connor and Floyd. Now that we've opened up that door, we may be able to get some sort of Brawl for All matchup between boxers. And I want the Diaz brothers to be involved in this somehow.
This person says, so Renee Young's brother is a hand? That's right. That is right.
Well,
put that under
brother,
Wikipedia,
yeah,
under siblings. Hand.
So Mark Henry is her brother-in-law, sort
yeah,
of,
something like that.
To the hand?
I don't know if they got married. Okay. I can't remember the whole storyline. Here's
a
very intelligent... This yeah. is a very intelligent text message, by the way.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, it is. This is a very, very good message that I had not even thought about, but this person is absolutely correct. Another benefit to spreading out the Mae Young Classic is it can build momentum. The Cruiserweight Classic built momentum every single week. How can you build momentum when the thing is 2 weeks long? Awesome question.
That
and
is,
you know,
but
another
I
thing.
About,
I got another thing for you. Let me just jump in.
Why?
Let me just jump in.
You're still going. You're jumping. You're not.
Do
even
you
have to
remember
jump.
When they taped the Mae Young Classic?
Yes.
You remember this? Everybody was talking about it. Like there were reports out, and it was like, I mean, as far as like the insiders, the people that actually buy the WWE Network, everybody was talking about it to the point where I remember people saying, why don't they just start getting these things on the network right now and strike while the iron is hot? But they didn't. They had a bunch of momentum when they taped it. Then they did nothing with it. Then they waited 2 months or whatever. And now they're throwing 8 episodes in a 2-week period. And then the finals are going to be here and it's over. So this guy is absolutely right. When you do something on a weekly basis over 12 weeks, you are building momentum with each passing week in addition to everything else.
3 minutes.
That right, man like is a very wise texter.
Caller.
Hey, I think they could have done it that I think they've...
Mike's going to throw it.
Well, I will wait
to the caller.
Now because Ken in Staten Island is also on the line too. Might as well get him in.
What a
we go
throw. Thanks, Mike. Ken, you're on the air.
Professional.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Ken, what's up?
You know, just talking...
2 minutes.
Saying, I don't really watch Impact, but I was watching an old Mike Bennett match from Impact on YouTube, and the announcer said, wow, when this is over, type Mike Bennett into YouTube, you'll be amazed. But meanwhile, in WWE, they're saying he used to work at Hallmark, and that's how he met Maria. In other words, why did WWE announcers purposely bury the stars? You should try to make everyone sound good, not... put down your talent.
Dude, you're absolutely right. I want to thank you very much for the call. The problem is, it's WWE, and, I mean, the music, and him taking her last name, and him fawning all over her, like she's the star and he's the geek. I mean,
this is the novella portion of the proceedings.
It's pretty clear that they didn't go into this thinking, man, we're going to make this guy a top star. They went into it with an idea, and now he's off television. I don't even know what happened. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Hey, back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here on Labor Day weekend, we will be back on Labor Day here on the program. If you're a big fan, you can check us out. We'll be live talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Couple of, here's John. Your idea of progressive and mine are two different things. In short, don't hold your breath for WWE management not to screw up this broadcaster team deal. Their past track record speaks for itself. Well, in terms of announcers, yes. Their track record does speak for itself. And finally here, this person says, is GFW turning this sexy star thing into a work? They posted a preview this week video on their YouTube saying they will address it. Yes and no. They're not turning it into work. They're not going to bring in sexy star. They're not going to do a feud with Sexy Star and Rosemary. But they realize it's a big story in wrestling, and they have a bunch of footage from backstage at Triple Mania, and so they're using that to try to get people to watch the television show where they're going to show you a bunch of that footage. Now, how they weave this into a television show with the storyline being that, you know, GFW is fake, but this real thing happened, like, that's going to be really weird. So I don't know how they're going to do that. But they are going to address the situation on TV, and if you want to see footage of Jeff Jarrett running around and getting angry backstage, well, it'll be your opportunity on the Global Force Wrestling Show, Impact, on Thursday. We're out of time, everybody. Want to thank Mike, as always. Everybody in the studio, callers and listeners, we'll be talking again tomorrow. That's it from here. Thanks for listening. Wrestling Observer Live.